Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Purgatory Blood by Adam Wright. Narrated by Greg D. Barnett. Chapter 1. The first thing I became aware of was a rushing sound that filled my ears. My eyes were closed, but I knew I was lying on damp grass. I bolted to my feet, opened my eyes, and stumbled, suddenly disoriented and dizzy. Fighting to stay on my feet, I leaned against a large rock and checked my surroundings. The rushing sound came from a waterfall. I was standing at the edge of a pool beneath the falling water. The pool bubbled and roiled, surrounded by a cloud of thick mist that made the rocks slick with moisture, and had already soaked through my t-shirt, chilling my skin. The pool spilled into a river which meandered between tall pine trees into the mist-shrouded distance. So, this was purgatory. It looked a lot like Maine. I heard the snap of a twig behind me and whirled around, fists clenched and raised. I didn't have a weapon, so I was going to have to defend myself the old-fashioned way. A man stumbled out of the woods. He had thinning gray hair and looked to be in his 60s. He wore a clean white shirt and tan pants. They hung loosely on his lean frame. When he saw me, his eyes widened with surprise.
"Hello, young man. It appears we are both in the same predicament. Have you just arrived as well?"
His accent was British. "Yeah," I said cautiously. "I just got here."
"Courtesy of the Purgatory Hound Express, I suppose."
He chuckled softly.
"I don't remember much of the ride myself. I was in my house in London, making a cup of tea, when I heard the hounds. The next thing I knew, I was waking up on the grass beneath those trees over there. I'm Harry, by the way, Harry Winslow."
He held out a bony hand, and I shook it. "Alec," I said. "Alec Harbinger."
"What are you in for? You don't have to answer that, of course. I'll tell you why I'm here. I had a demon trapped in my basement for over a decade. Bloody thing escaped and ensured my passage here. Don't mess with demons, Mr. Harbinger. They'll stab you in the back the first chance they get."
"I'll remember that."
"So, what brings a young man like you to purgatory?"
He looked at me expectantly.
"Dabbling with the wrong spell? Playing with a powerful magical item?"
"You could say that."
"It wasn't one of those configuration cubes, was it? Very dangerous things."
I shook my head. "The Spear of Destiny." Harry looked shocked.
"The Spear of Destiny? You must have some stories to tell."
I shrugged noncommittally. "I might have some stories, but this wasn't the time or place to tell them." "We need to move," I said. "This area is obscured by mist, and we have no idea what might be out there. We need to find somewhere more secure." He glanced at the mist-shrouded forest and nodded.
"You're right. If I'm going to be eaten by a monster, I want to see it coming before it gobbles me up. Any suggestions regarding which direction we should go?"
I thought about that for a moment, and then nodded. "This river is probably flowing down from a hill. If we move upriver, we might be able to get to a vantage point that gives us a view of the surrounding area."
"Good idea, young man. But it means we're going to have to get above the waterfall somehow. I don't know about you, but I don't fancy climbing up that sheer wall of rock."
"We'll find a way around it. It looks like the forest gradually slopes upward on a hill. Doesn't look too steep." Harry grinned.
"That's what I like to hear. A gradual slope. I'm not as fit as I used to be, you know."
He looked fit to me, lean and wiry. And he'd been strong enough to have kept a demon trapped in his basement for more than a decade. Something that required both mental and physical endurance. So his old man act was probably simply that, an act. He might be trying to appear less threatening than he really was. I was worried about something lurking out there in the mist, but maybe I should be more concerned about my newfound companion. As we walked away from the river and toward the forest, a female voice called out from somewhere in the trees.
"Hello, is someone out there?"
Harry and I looked at each other.
"Could be a trap," he said.
"Or it could be someone who needs our help." I cupped my hands around my mouth and called out, "We're over here!" A rustling sound came from the undergrowth, and then a branch snapped, and the woman's voice said,
"Ouch! Why are there so many trees?"
She came stumbling out of the forest, her auburn hair matted with twigs and leaves. She was dressed in jeans and a flower-patterned blouse that had been torn along one arm.
"I didn't realize purgatory would be so overgrown," she said,
picking the sticks and leaves out of her hair.
"I'm Daria Coyne, by the way. Perhaps you've heard of me?"
She narrowed her eyes, looking me over, and then added,
"I've certainly heard of you. You're Alec Harbinger, aren't you?"
I was surprised she knew my name. But I'd never heard of her, despite her saying I might have. "Yes, I'm Alec Harbinger. Should I know you?"
"Not particularly. I enjoy a modicum of fame, or maybe notoriety would be a better word, in my hometown, but I guess my reputation hasn't reached Dearmont."
"And what reputation might that be?" Harry asked.
There was some lasciviousness in his voice. Seeing this 60-something-year-old man leering over Daria, who looked no more than 30, turned my stomach. She looked at him and cocked an eyebrow.
"Wouldn't you like to know? And you are?"
"Harry Winslow. Demonologist. I assume you're a witch."
"That's quite an assumption, Harry, but yes, I am a witch. And from Salem, too, to make the stereotype complete."
That explained how Daria had heard of me. Salem wasn't too far from Dearmont. She must have seen me on the local news. Avoiding TV cameras was something I regularly failed at, no matter how hard I tried to stay out of the media spotlight.
"What did you do to end up here?"
Harry asked Daria. She bit her lip and her eyes looked down at the ground.
"I did something very bad."
Taking a deep breath, she turned to me and forced a smile.
"Are we going to get out of here, or what?"
"We're going to move upriver," I told her. "If we can gain some elevation, we might be able to see exactly where we are."
"I think I know exactly where we are," she said grimly. "We're in purgatory, cut off from everything and everyone we know."
Her words made me think of Felicity, and my dad, and everyone else I'd left behind. Would I ever see them again? I dismissed the question. Of course I would. I had to believe that. "We can find a way out of here," I said. Daria looked at me with desperation in her eyes.
"You really think so?"
I nodded. "First, we need to check our surroundings. That means climbing that hill." She looked at the tree-covered incline and wrinkled her nose.
"Ugh, more trees."
"I thought witches liked nature," said Harry.
Daria shrugged.
"Sure, but not when it's attacking me. I'll be pulling leaves out of my hair for days."
"We'll find a route that isn't too overgrown," I said. She smiled at me.
"Lead the way, Alec."
We entered the forest. The mist clung to the ground, snaking over the undergrowth. It wasn't so thick at eye level, though, and visibility here was better than at the waterfall. I scanned the forest warily, looking for any type of movement that might give away the location of another living being here, but saw nothing. The trees grew on an incline that wasn't so steep that it would be impassable, but was angled sharply enough that we'd feel it in our legs when we began to climb. This was not the gradual slope Harry had been looking forward to. But he didn't complain as we trudged up the hill. In fact, he matched my pace easily. I found a route up the hill that avoided most of the overhanging branches and foliage. After 30 minutes of walking uphill, my legs were on fire. I stopped and leaned against a tree trunk, feeling the ache in my thighs slowly subside. Daria and Harry stopped too. We were all breathing hard.
"How much further?"
Daria asked, breathing hard. I checked the way ahead. All I could see was more sloping ground and more trees. At least the mist was gone. We'd left that behind 10 minutes ago.
"I don't know," I said. "Anyone else thirsty?" Harry asked.
Now that he mentioned it, I realized my mouth was dry, my throat parched, but the only nearby water, as far as I knew, was the river, and I wasn't sure how safe it would be to drink from it. Harry had the same idea about a source of refreshment.
"The river isn't far. I can hear it."
"You really want to drink from it?"
Daria asked incredulously. He shrugged.
"Do we have a choice?"
He had a point. We needed to find a source of water and food eventually, if we were going to survive here. Okay, let's check it out. I wasn't as keen as Harry regarding the river, but I was willing to go over there and take a look, if not a careful sip, and we could all use a break from the incessant climb. Staying at the same elevation, we traversed the incline to the river. As we got closer, I could hear the tumultuous water rushing down the hill, splashing over rocks. Mist hung in the air. It clung to the tree trunks and glistened on the bark. We reached the river. It raced down the steep hill over a rocky bed, forming rapids and deep pools. The air was cool and moist, the sound of the rushing water almost deafening. Harry bent down at the water's edge and lowered a cupped hand into the river. He inspected the glistening liquid on his palm before gingerly raising it to his mouth and sucking it past his lips.
"Tastes good!"
he shouted over the sound of the river. Daria looked at me.
"Do you think it's safe to drink?"
I shrugged. "I don't think the purpose of purgatory is for people to starve to death or die of dehydration, so it's probably safe, but I really don't know." She nodded and squinted at the demonologist, who was scooping more water into his mouth and swallowing it greedily.
"Maybe we should watch Harry for a while and see if anything bad happens to him."
Whether anything bad happened to Harry or not, I decided on the way over here to wait until I drank from the river. Even if the water did no more than make us sick, that could be catastrophic if we were attacked by any of Purgatory's denizens and unable to fight back. Someone had to be able to protect the group. "I'm going to wait until we find safe shelter before I take a drink," I told Daria. She considered that for a moment, and then nodded decisively.
"Sounds like a plan."
We waited until Harry had slaked his thirst. He finally stood up, satisfied, and wiped his mouth.
"I needed that."
"Okay, let's move on," I said. Harry pointed at the river.
"Are you two not going to partake?"
I shook my head. "We're going to wait a while."
"Ah, I see. So, I'm the guinea pig, eh?"
"It isn't like that," I told him. "If the water has any ill effects, we can't chance all of us being sick. We need to be able to defend ourselves."
"I don't think anything will bother following us up this hill," he said. "Much too steep."
"You're doing well so far," I said. He shrugged.
"I must be in better shape than I thought. My daily constitutional around Regent's Park has obviously done wonders for my health."
I wasn't sure a daily constitutional could be the only reason Harry ascended the steep hill so easily, but I didn't pursue the topic. "Anyway, we're almost above the tree line," I said, pointing upriver. There was another waterfall up there where the clear water cascaded over a vertical rock face, and beyond that there was nothing but rocks. From up there we should be able to view the surrounding area.
"Thank the goddess for that," Daria said. "I was beginning to think we'd never get out of this nightmare forest."
We resumed the climb, and 30 minutes later broke through the trees into an area of reddish-brown rock. Our route had skirted the waterfall, and now we stood above it. The top of the hill, which I now realized would be better described as a mountain, jutted into the gray, cloudy sky, maybe 1,000 feet from where we now stood. The way up there looked treacherous and would involve actual clambering over rocky outcrops and climbing sheer vertical walls. Luckily, we didn't need to go to the summit. Our current position afforded us a view of the surrounding landscape.
"So, this is purgatory," Daria said, taking in the view. "Looks fine for a vacation, but I wouldn't want to live here."
I surveyed our surroundings. The mountain on which we stood was part of a range that dominated the landscape. At the base of the mountain range, thick forest stretched for miles in every direction. The river and its tributaries snaked through the trees and into the distance, where foothills gave way to a second mountain range that looked like jagged fingers clawing at the sky. At the base of one of these mountains, shrouded by mist, sat a walled city. I couldn't make out any details at this distance, other than the wall that surrounded the city and a vague impression of the tops of buildings. To the south, although I had no idea of the actual direction, my mind had overlaid an imaginary set of compass points over the view to try and make sense of it, lay a vast desert. A single mountain rose from the sand, and I could see a tower near the summit. It seemed to have been hewn from the rock itself.
"Looks like we've stepped into Game of Thrones," Harry sighed. Any suggestions as to our next move?"
"That's easy," Daria said. "We can go to the tower in the desert, where we'll probably get killed, or we can head for the walled city, where we'll probably get killed."
She sat on the rocks and wrapped her arms around her legs.
"How the hell did I end up here?"
"You tell us," said Harry. "You said you did something bad. How bad, exactly?"
Ignoring his question, she simply let out a long sigh and dropped her head to her knees. "We don't have to go anywhere right now," I said. "Daria is right. We don't know who is in the city or the tower, so we need to be cautious."
"We can't stay on this bloody mountain forever," Harry said. "If there are people in that city, we can negotiate with them. Get some food, water, shelter. You know, the things we need to survive."
"I'm not saying we won't do that," I told him. "Just that we need to be careful. This place is unknown to all of us. We don't know how it operates, who the bad guys are."
"This is purgatory, Alec. Everyone here is a bad guy."
"Exactly my point." He sighed frustratedly.
"That doesn't mean we can't do business with them. I've negotiated with demons. I'm sure I can handle a few pissants in purgatory."
"And how did the demon thing go for you?" I asked. His face fell.
"Well, I..."
His voice trailed away. "Exactly. We need to be careful about pissing off the wrong people." A light rain started to fall, spattering against the rocks around us. Daria looked up and grimaced.
"Ouch!"
She stood up quickly as if she'd been bitten by ants.
"Guys, there's something wrong with the rain."
I felt it too now. Where the rain touched the bare skin on my arms, it was as if 1,000 needles were digging into my skin. I looked down at my arms. Tiny plumes of smoke rose from where the rain was hitting me.
"Back to the trees," I shouted. "We need to find shelter." "Wait."
Daria pointed at the rocks above us.
"There's a cave."
We scrambled over the rocks toward the cave as quickly as we could. Each raindrop that touched our skin was like a tiny red-hot meteor burning its way through our flesh. When we finally reached the opening in the rocks, I was in agony. Smoke rose from my face, neck, and arms, and I felt like I'd been lit on fire. The three of us stumbled in through the cave mouth and collapsed. I closed my eyes, trying to ignore the searing heat that spread through my limbs. The pain finally subsided, and I opened my eyes. I looked down at my arms where the rain had hit me. I expected to see lesions and burns, but my skin was unmarked. I looked over at Daria and Harry. They were also inspecting themselves and appeared to be similarly unmarked by the rain.
"What the hell was that?"
Daria said, casting her gaze out through the cave entrance. The rain continued to fall, heavier now, hissing onto the rocks and the forest.
"It isn't burning the trees," she said. "There's no smoke rising from the rocks. It only affects skin."
She held out her hands and inspected them again.
"I felt it burning me, but it hasn't left a single mark."
"Magic," Harry said,
as if that explained everything. I got to my feet and stepped to the cave entrance, careful to stay under cover. It didn't look like the rain would stop any time soon. The entire vista in front of me, the forest and the snaking river, the mountains and the walled city, had become enshrouded by mist as the flesh-burning precipitation poured from the sky. Harry joined me at the cave entrance and looked over the misty, rain-swept landscape.
"I'd expected purgatory to be much more accommodating than this," he said sarcastically.
I didn't reply. I was wondering what else we were going to encounter in this place. If even the rain was dangerous here, what were the inhabitants like? I felt on edge. I had to calm down. If I remained in a state of high alert all the time, my nerves would fray, and I'd be of no use to anyone. We were safe in this cave. I could relax for now, at least. But the level of tension in my body ratcheted up a notch when Daria next spoke.
"Hey, guys, I think this cave goes deeper into the mountain. There's a tunnel or something back there."
I took the maglight from my pocket and shone the light toward the back of the cave. Sure enough, there was a tunnel that led deeper into the mountain. The beam from the maglight only penetrated the darkness so far. Beyond the reach of the light, there could be anyone, or anything, hiding back there. Chapter 2. I walked closer to the tunnel's mouth, shining the light as far into the darkness as I could. It illuminated rock walls, ceiling, and floor. The tunnel seemed to have been naturally carved into the mountain, and not man-made. But that didn't preclude a person or a creature making their home here. I took a step forward so the flashlight beam could penetrate deeper into the tunnel.
"You're not thinking of going in there, are you?" Harry said.
Daria put a gentle hand on my shoulder.
"Don't go, Alec. It could be dangerous."
"If we don't make sure the tunnel is clear, something could come out of there when we least expect it," I said. Harry peered uncertainly into the darkness.
"But you don't know how far it goes. The damn thing could be miles deep, and you don't have any weapons. What are you going to do if you meet something nasty in there?"
He had a point regarding my lack of weapons. I was no slouch when it came to hand-to-hand combat, but that wouldn't help me if there was a huge troll armed with a spiked club, or maybe something even worse. I had no idea what kind of monsters inhabited Purgatory. If I entered the tunnel armed with nothing more than a rock, and there was something in there, I might live just long enough to regret my decision before being killed. "You're right," I said. "I won't go. But we need to stay alert. If something comes out of there, we need to run."
"Run where?" asked Harry. "In case you hadn't noticed, Alec, there's a deadly magical rain falling from the sky."
"We might make it to the forest. The trees would offer some shelter."
"I'll take solid rock over a few branches above my head any day of the week," he said, patting the cave wall.
"We'll be careful," Daria said, moving away from the tunnel and back to the cave mouth.
Her eyes remained locked on the darkness beyond the flashlight beam.
"Right, that's sorted then," Harry said cheerily. "We remain here until this storm passes over. Shame we haven't got any kindling. We could have built a fire."
"And how would we light it?" Daria asked.
He grinned and took a box of matches from his pocket. Shaking it, he said,
"I'm always prepared. Used to be a Boy Scout. I've got this as well."
He held out a Swiss Army knife.
"It's over 50 years old, and still going strong."
"Those will come in handy," I said. "When we can get to the forest, we can make spears."
"If we run into any monsters, we're going to need more than a sharp stick, dear boy."
"It's a start," I said. I'd feel better with any weapon in my hand right now, including a sharp stick, as Harry called it. Even if we didn't run into any monsters, we knew there were other people here. The walled city and desert tower hadn't built themselves, and we had no guarantee they were friendly. I moved away from the tunnel and sat on the cave floor, my back against the wall. Harry did the same, sitting opposite me and regarding me with more than a little scrutiny.
"You were going to tell us about the Spear of Destiny, Alec."
"Was I?" I felt my senses sharpen. I didn't know Harry, and I didn't trust him. A man who would enslave a demon and use its power for his own ends wasn't exactly at the top of my Christmas card list.
"Well, you mentioned it earlier. You said that's why you're here, because of the Spear of Destiny."
"What's that?"
Daria joined us, sitting next to me.
"You really don't know?"
Harry looked shocked. Daria shook her head. Harry sighed.
"The ignorance of youth, I suppose. It's one of the most powerful artifacts in the world, dear. Perhaps the most powerful."
She shrugged.
"Oh, okay."
The demonologist turned his attention to me.
"How did you get your hands on it, Alec?"
"That's a long story.
Like I said, we've got plenty of time."
"It's a story I don't want to tell right now." That was true. At the moment, I was more concerned with surviving Purgatory and hopefully getting out of here than anything else. I couldn't afford to be distracted by thoughts of home. Remembering the chaos I'd left behind, a chaos I'd created by letting the Spear of Destiny taste human blood, made me feel desperately anxious. Everyone was in danger, and there was no way I could help them. I had to push those thoughts from my mind and keep a clear head if I was going to have any chance of getting out of Purgatory alive and returning to the people I loved. Harry shrugged as if my refusal didn't bother him.
"Fine, I just thought the time might pass quicker if we had something to talk about, that's all."
"What about you?" Daria asked him. "What's your story?"
"Kept a demon trapped in my basement for 10 years. Used its power for occult purposes. You know, the usual."
Daria wrinkled her nose.
"What do you mean by occult purposes?" Sounds weird.
He looked at her and arched an eyebrow.
I'm sure Galileo seemed weird to his contemporaries.
Oh boy, you're one of those.
She laughed lightly. Harry frowned at her.
One of what?
Someone who thinks they're changing the world when all you're really doing is grabbing power wherever you can find it.
I'm not grabbing anything. I'm doing highly important work that you wouldn't understand.
She laughed again.
See? That's what I'm talking about. That sense of self-importance. Be honest, the only reason you kept a demon locked up all that time was because you wanted its power for yourself.
He shook his head.
No, that's not true.
Of course it is. Admit it. You had no higher purpose than...
She thought about it before continuing.
Getting rich, or making someone fall in love with you, or...
Those might be the paltry spells that you trifle with as a witch, my dear, but I can assure you that my calling is much higher.
And that's why you're in purgatory?
She asked sarcastically. His brows furrowed.
I don't understand where all this venom is coming from. You don't even know me. Why do you hate me so much?
Daria's expression became dark.
Because it's people like you who killed my husband.
Taken aback, Harry closed his mouth and didn't say whatever riposte he'd been conjuring up in his head. I put a hand on Daria's shoulder. Daria, I'm sorry to hear that. She shrugged my hand away and got up, returning to the front of the cave, where she stared out at the rainy landscape. Harry looked at me, grimaced, and shrugged as if saying, Don't blame me, I didn't know. Daria obviously wanted to be left alone with her thoughts. I leaned my head back against the cave wall and closed my eyes, suddenly feeling weary. Surviving in this alien place was going to be hard enough without Daria and Harry locking horns every 2 seconds. I must have fallen asleep because the next thing I knew, Harry was shaking me awake.
Alec, the rain has stopped.
I opened my eyes and looked around, disoriented, for a second. Daria was sitting on the rocks outside of the cave. The rain had stopped, and the sky was now a clear, shining blue. I got to my feet and said to Harry, Let's get some wood from the forest while we have the chance. We went outside and proceeded down the mountain to the upper edge of the forest. Once we were in the trees, I scoured the ground for any branches that might serve as spears. I soon found what I was looking for and gathered half a dozen long, straight lengths of wood that would be deadly when carved into a sharp point. Harry, meanwhile, had been collecting firewood. He held a bundle of sticks, twigs, and small logs in his arms. Again, his strength belied his appearance, and I wondered if he was still running on a remnant of demon juice from his former prisoner. On the rocks above us, Daria had gotten to her feet and was shielding her eyes with her hands to see something in the distance.
Guys, I think you should get back here.
Worry tinged her voice. Harry and I looked at each other and then ascended the slope to the cave as quickly as we could with our forest haul. What is it? I asked Daria when I reached her. She pointed toward the walled city. At first, I didn't know what she was trying to show me. All I saw was the city in the distance, still partly shrouded by mist. Then, two large shapes moving in the sky caught my attention. Two winged creatures were gliding over the trees.
They came out of the city, Daria said. Flew right over the wall, and now they're coming this way.
They're headed in this direction, I said, but I don't think they've seen us, if that's what you're worried about. They're at least 10 miles away.
But are they searching for us? They look like they're hunting.
I watched the winged hunters for a few moments. Daria was right. They moved in a hunting pattern, covering every inch of ground beneath them as they moved in ever-widening circles. I realized something else as their pattern brought them a little closer. They're not creatures, I said. They're man-made machines. Man-made was probably incorrect. This was purgatory, so who knew what kind of creature had built those gliding machines? And who knew what was piloting them, hunting the ground below for prey? We need to get back inside the cave, I said. If we could lie low, the machines might pass us by. Daria nodded.
No argument from me.
We turned toward the cave, and my heart sank. Harry had hastily built a fire and was coaxing it into life. He was crouched next to it, blowing air over the glowing embers. The kindling he'd placed beneath a pile of sticks was already alight. Smoke drifted out of the mouth of the cave and into the air, giving away our position.
Harry put that out."
He looked up at us, obviously proud of his fire-making skills.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?